This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Muwa Paganampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. So let me tell you about my Monday night. What I did was I went home after a long day of work. I opened up a packet of Walkers prawn cocktail crisps.
Well, the crisps are available.
I love prawn cocktail. Got myself a Diet Coke, sat down, put on Netflix, turned on Queer Eye and proceeded to cry into my bag of crisps.
Slightly saltier then.
Yeah. Yes, slightly saltier.
And okay. Soggy.
The second season of Queer Eye has hit Netflix. It's only been 5 months?
Something like that.
I think we reviewed the first season in February.
Can we not call it season two? Maybe 1.5?
Just more episodes.
Yeah,
more episodes of Queer Eye.
Yeah, Netflix and millennials are destroying the concept of seasons.
Yeah, just don't know how it works.
Yeah, the Fab Five, all of them are back. Jonathan, Bobby, Karamo, Tan, and Anthony. And the first episode, I know you guys took a while to get into the first episode, but the first episode for me, out of the new eight... Still one of the strongest. And I'll tell you why. So the first episode, they actually go to help a lady, as they put it. And it's Mama Tammy. And she is this African-American woman in a town called Gay.
Yeah, Gay, Georgia.
Gay, Georgia, that doesn't have very many gay people.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point they say it was like 3 people or something, 4 people or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a southern town. And they kind of go to help her out, not in a kind of makeover way, but because she's had a hard life and she's done so much for the community that they want to give something back.
Yeah, it's more like a treat.
It's a treat,
right? Yeah, they don't do her house over, they do over the community center.
That's right, that's right. But what I loved about this particular episode was it was in many ways a kind of role reversal in the sense that it felt like the Fab Five learnt as much from that community as the community learnt from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a great moment where after he starts crying, well, everyone just starts crying all the time in this episode.
No, she's just giving them some speech about like, you know, you can't antagonize and empathize at the same time or something like that.
Anthony's
just in the background he's rocking an awful lot of awesome neckerchiefs this season. And he just like holds his nose and walks off in the most kind of like, I'm not crying, you're crying way.
That was me the entire episode. But there's this great moment at the beginning of the episode where Bobby refuses to go into church. He mentioned it in the previous season where he talks about his very difficult relationship with his dad and also Christianity, right? Because he was a really, really strong Christian.
That was the episode with the guy with like loads of kids, right?
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
But they abandoned him when he came out. And so he refuses to step into the church. Cromwell makes a little joke about it. But he has this conversation with Mama Tammy about his past. But what I liked about this episode is in every other reality TV show, by the time the end of the episode rolls around, Bobby will walk into church. If this was any other show, they would be like, oh, look, he's overwhelmed by the love of this community and he feels a certain acceptance, but we know this hurt is real. It's not something that seems to be put on for the camera.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I enjoyed most about that episode. I'm like, thank you for subverting my expectations, because that was what I was hoping for secretly inside. I was like, is Bobby going to go back to church?
And he's going to walk in and everyone's going to break into song.
And everyone's going to love him and hug him and accept him for the gay man that he is.
But they did find an alternate. Like, what we're missing here is that Tammy's son is gay and is like almost the only gay in the village.
Yes.
Yeah. And in order, he's lost part of his personality and parts of his likes because of that, because of being away from church. And he's been away from town as well, right?
Yes, parallel story to Bobby, right?
So they find a gay choir for him to join, so that he can do the singing that he used to love to do in church but doesn't have to deal with all that churchy stuff that was causing problems, which is a nice solution.
Yeah. And the son goes for homecoming.
Yes.
And so, yes, you get a surrogate. It was so cleverly
structured. I didn't
understand
what that homecoming was. They didn't go into that. It's not the football team coming home.
No, it's the idea that once you've left church, you're always welcomed back. Oh, so okay. Every year they'll do this thing called homecoming where...
So you're welcome back on that one day, but every other day, just get the hell out of here.
No, I think it's the idea that you are encouraged to come back and this is the first... Yeah. Like, you come for this and then hopefully you'll keep coming back, yeah. I liked it, as do I like all the episodes of Queer Eye, plus all the special episodes on YouTube, and plus all the appearances of the Queer Eye gang.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. They went to Yas, Australia.
Yas, Australia. I like it all.
They went to Nailed It, which is I presume a flagging Netflix show that they will just start popping up on things. Yeah. I can't wait for them to appear on Daredevil Season 3.
That'd be amazing. The Fab Five just redo Matt Murdock. Yeah. It's great.
And they do over his house.
And his costume.
Anthony's trying to teach him how to cook. It's the best. But I didn't get that. I didn't get that, like, reaction the way you did.
Yeah.
You immediately texted the group and was just like, you're not crying, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah. And well, we saw it a week before he did, so we were over it by then.
We moved on to
the other 600 things that Netflix are throwing at us daily.
But it was just like, no, I get the emotional beats, and like, no, it was sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't tear up or anything, but it was nice.
I think getting it so fast might have had something to do with that. Like, I felt the first episode, we were kind of chatting and not as focused on it as we were for the first one, because it's not been that long.
Mm.
And the first one felt special because it came out of nowhere. Yes. And like that first episode as well, I always expect, when you started talking about this, it's like, what's wrong with Uma? What's up with him now? What's he crying into his Christmas about? Because that first episode really sets the stage for the whole show, which is I thought it's going to be a makeover guy. It's going to be just making over millennials or something like that. It's going to be a standard makeover show, of which there are a couple on Netflix now, which are god awful.
Mm.
When you realize what these shows used to be before they had these, the five apostles sorting it out for you.
Also, because we watch Queer Eye, now the algorithm seems to recommend all of these shows to us.
Yeah.
But the way they did it and everything, that the first guy was just so outside of what you expected a makeover show to do.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Like, obviously, there was seemed to be real connections made there. Yeah. And it seems special.
Yeah.
It seems just that first episode seems a little slightly less special because Tammy's so into it as well.
Mm.
She's like ready for change.
It's like she's seen the first episode. She's like, oh my God, I've been chosen. Yeah.
Whereas, and I think some of the later episodes have more interesting to me because the person is reluctant to change and that's why they need help.
But with Tammy, it seems like that is the kind of woman she's become. And she addresses that, right?
Yes.
She talks about how closed off she was during her son's coming out.
Mm.
And how that kind of changed her and she became more accepting after that. And how, you know, she apologized to her son for being a terrible mother. It seems like even her speech at the end to the community, that's how the community sees her, as this person that is completely accepting of everything because she believes, you know, that is her role. I mean, there's a line in the show which gets all of the Fab Five crying when she says, you know, God divined that you come together.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh, that's a good line.
But then it makes you, the show then goes weird because her husband appears at the end of nowhere that we've not heard mentioned.
That's the weird thing. I mean, they mentioned at the beginning of the episode that she is married.
Yeah.
We don't see her husband throughout.
Yeah.
He's at the end at homecoming, sitting in the front row, kind of crying at her speech. So I don't know why they didn't feature him in any of the episodes.
Mm.
But he also does look quite sickly, though. Maybe he just wasn't able to keep up with production.
No, maybe they're like slightly separated. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. It was one of those weird things, like, why aren't they addressing that? There's a few things kind of pop in like that throughout the season. There's another person who needs to sort out their college. They went to graduation, but they actually have to repeat a class.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, and he's a compulsive liar. Or he's not a compulsive liar. You can see he's trying
just
to
making
make
excuses.
Himself. He's making excuses.
Yeah.
And I thought that Karamo was going to go to college with them and sort that out because they do something similar for someone else where they go to DMV.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen. But they say, we're going to sort it out. It's like, okay. That kind of...
I mean...
I'm not sure whether it felt a little bit more rushed or not as quite as complete. Or
for
maybe,
me, after having just come out of actual production, it's just one of those things where I think to myself, maybe it's one of those things that required a week to do.
Yeah.
And they just had 2 days to shoot.
I think they all roughly get a week because Bobby's good. He's not that good.
Oh, no. I mean, I know. What I mean is just like the process takes longer than they had.
I figured something about that, or else they went there and it's just like, well, he was doing drugs in the back of the class. We don't want to feature
that. And then the producers are like, well, we've shot way too much of this episode already. Let's just keep going.
Let's just cut around it.
Let's go back to more Bobby, more Jonathan messing with hair. It's great.
We'll edit around it. It's fine.
All of these eight episodes, once again, they kind of feature really distinct, diverse, and different characters. So
yes.
You never really see the same person per se.
Yeah.
Again, they make over a mayor, an adolescent, you've got a compulsive liar, you've got a lady this time, you've got a romantic, you've got a handyman, which is one of the sweetest episodes.
Yeah.
The handyman sort of twist at the end was really interesting.
It was a fantastic really little twist.
It was going that way the whole time, though.
No, I completely agree, but like the fact that there was that payoff,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to just like, well, you know.
This show is just a real emotional catharsis.
Yeah.
This show is my bad day at work at life show.
Yeah.
There's
nothing, I mean, I might complain slightly about it, but there's nothing really bad you can say about it. And if you do, you're a horrible person and you don't deserve to watch it. Because it's like, it's too good.
You don't
for
deserve
you.
The Fab Five.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think the stories came out before the second season that some of the contestants from the first season said, oh no, the guys have been in touch with us since the show.
They just keep in touch.
Like, they generally keep in touch. They're there for not just a week. It's not just skin deep stuff. And again, I think it's 100% Hotter is one of the shows I saw on Netflix where they were confronting mostly women about
why
their...
were you watching a show called 100%
because the Hotter. Algorithm threw it at us.
You didn't have to click yes.
Well, it said because you're like Queer Eye. It was like, oh, the algorithm knows what's good for us. Yes. Feed us, great silicon mother. And then it turned into a show where they were getting, you know, women who wear too much makeup to take them, like, here, take it off now.
Like, be like real confronting, snarky.
A little bit snarky, but also, like, confronting them straight away. It wasn't like, let's sit down in a chair and let's have a chat
let's
and
talk
massage
about
your shoulders
it, right?
And talk about it. And then maybe we'll take some of that slap
off.
It was like, here's some tissues, take it off now.
No, but I think that's what I love so much about the show. The guys, the five of them, are so genuine.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, that's who they are.
I always laugh when I see Karamo. It's just like, you know, grooming, decor, food, and then it's like culture. And it's like, we couldn't, it's like, he's just...
We don't know what this
we
is.
We don't know what to say about this guy. He's basically your black Jesus.
Did you...
Exactly, comes that in is what
everyone,
he is.
He basically comes in and everyone has a road to... Like, and especially, they're in the truck. It's not a road to Damascus. It's a road to wherever in Georgia they're going. Moment where, like, he's having a talk with the slightly racist cop in the first season.
Yes.
Or, like, it's always him and somebody in the car when they have an emotional breakthrough.
Mm. Did you guys read the article about how they found the Fab Five?
Oh, no. Not the new Fab Five, no.
Oh, no. There was a really interesting article. I found it. I think I saw it online or on Facebook about how they had to go through, rather, they just found a bunch of people that they felt fit the what they call the vertical, right? Food, decor, grooming, etc., etc. And then I think they said they took about, I think it was maybe about 20 of them.
And then they created a new vertical for Karamo.
Karamo, they always had that culture sort of vertical. But what they did was they took all these guys to like a...
Boot camp.
Like a retreat, like a boot camp. And literal boot camp. So sometimes they made them do exercises and then they broke them up into groups to see what the chemistry is like.
Wow.
So they said they found, I think Jonathan was the last one that fit into the group. I think they found Bobby and Karamo first.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship worked and then they just kept mixing. And the casting, they didn't know what they were casting for.
Ah.
So they never mentioned that they were shooting a new version of Queer Eye because I guess they didn't want people to come in with a preconceived notion of what it was. But
that's very cool.
It's very cool. They spent a lot of time trying to find those
guys. And for the honesty level of it, you should see as well for the Queer Eye cinematic universe now because, again, thanks to the algorithm on YouTube, once you've watched the Yas Australia episode...
Is that on Netflix?
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah.
Once you've watched that on YouTube, then you will also get all these other recommendations. And there's one where they get each of the guys on to go, I think it's Elle magazine.
Mm.
Each of the guys stalks each other's Instagrams.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking through the other person's Instagram and just like, oh, I love this photo of the two of us together. And it's just incredibly sweet. And also like, would you look at Tan's hair?
Yeah. It's great. It's great. The relationship between the five of them is just amazing.
Did you guys ever catch this podcast series about Richard Simmons?
No.
The workout guy. So there's a podcast series about a journalist who's looking for Richard Simmons because he disappears.
I've heard of looking for Richard Simmons.
Right. I heard it.
Is there a documentary on it as well?
I don't know if there's a documentary.
Yeah.
But the podcast series is an interesting, and the podcast series has its own issues because after you reach about episode 6 or 7, you're like, why are you harassing this man if he just wants to disappear, right?
Yeah.
Leave
him
be. But the interesting thing about that show is how much we find out about Richard Simmons, the person, in that they interview people and there would be these women who are like, you know, overweight and they would go to Richard Simmons for help and he would help them. And this woman would be like, you know, he would call me once a week for 20 years to make sure I was okay and keeping up with everything I was doing. Because he genuinely gave a damn about these people. And so it feels like these guys, too, aren't putting it on for the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why this show feels so genuine and good. And I think that's why it works.
Yeah. Nailed is a show where they get people who really can't bake to try and bake the most complex, ambitious cakes known to man. And they get them to do it, and Karamo just gives up and goes, has some wine. Like, and you can see them interacting. They're not letting, they're making cake pops of themselves.
Right.
And they can't make, of each other, but they can't make themselves one. Mm. And it's like, well, I'm taking tan. And like, you know, they're just, the interaction's there. They just let the cameras go. You just, there doesn't seem to be any artifice at all. And it comes to the fore in a show called Nailed It, because the host on that is nothing but artifice.
Mm.
And it really doesn't work for me as a show. But I would watch it for this episode just to see, again, even when, I don't even know if I have to set it up. It's just like, let the cameras roll on these.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They just seem to be just, you know, lovely people.
Yeah, because God knows I'm watching the episode and I have judgment and I have hardly any empathy for some of these people.
Yeah.
Here are the Fab Five advising them and using their skills and doing God's work with like no judgment and complete empathy. And yeah. I'm like, are you real?
Because like for me, dude, that, especially the compulsive liar / excuse maker guy.
I'm yeah.
Just, for me, I was halfway, not even halfway through. I'm 10 minutes in. I'm like, just guys, just leave. Just,
no, I was
just go to the closest bar and have a drink. Give up with this guy.
I was waiting for Karamo to break him.
Just
like, in the like softest way possible. Possible. Like yeah. He was going to break him psychologically and mentally as opposed to physically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do actually like as well, like just go, they're very, like, it's weirdly alcohol positive show. Like they're going, they seem to be going out of their way to have drinks in the afternoon when they're watching the playback.
Yeah.
I think it really brings home the idea that they set the person up and then get the hell out.
Yes.
That really comes to the fore this season where it's like, right, you've your big event. We're not here to help you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
And
we'll watch it from our loft.
Where we will have a variety of drinks, of beverages to choose from. Because you see, some of them have cups. Like, I think it's just, you know, shows like Pop Idol and those, they go to so many hoops to get you those, like, those giant Coke cup things. So here's our sponsor or whatever.
Yeah,
whereas
these
guys just having whatever's around their loft.
Yeah, and
which
it's
is not a loft because
like,
it's on the ground floor.
It's also not the kind of thing. That is true, though. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was that one time.
Unless that door opens and it's like a 60-foot drop.
No, but they've opened it once, remember?
For someone the for the other family. Barbecue.
The barbecue one, yeah. I'm watching this and I keep trying to go back to the original Queer Eye, which I really liked.
Mm.
And I realized that one felt a little less, that one felt a little more fakey, a little more, hey, we're gay and proud.
Mm.
Whereas this one just feels...
Was that the time, though?
It's completely just the time, but this one feels a lot more authentic, a lot more heart. And I like this one a lot.
Queer Eye Season 2 is now streaming on Netflix. 8 episodes for you to catch up on and cry into your crisps. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Fagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahe White.
You're listening to At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.